Well, it's all about remembering and celebrating mothers this week. And I wanted to give you a very special gift, moms. So I had to call in a big favor for this one. Coming up next, we have Juno and Gemini Award winner, certified platinum recording artist. She's called the queen of R&B here in Canada. The one and only Julie Black is in the building. And she discusses the impact of the life of her late mother, her heroic journey through cancer, and the legacy she has left behind. We speak about her evolution and how Julie lives her life in honor to her late mother. She even gives us a very private glimpse to her rock bottom story and the lessons she's learned, and we get serenaded, y'all. I mean, how much more can you want? Coming up next, guys, available on all podcast platforms, or subscribe to my YouTube channel, and I'll see you there on the path.
You're listening to On the Path Podcast with Cheryl Nemhart. Follow Cheryl Nemhart on all social media platforms.
Hey guys, welcome to On the Path. And I am so excited today, guys. It's a family affair. I got family in the building. It's a special day for me. I am so excited to have this conversation in and around Mother's Day. This woman is literally a motivational mother to so many. I'm talking about the actress, singer, mogul, ambassador, multi-award winning in all those areas. She has literally been the face of R&B in Canada for so many years, and the evolution of who she's become has been something to behold. I want to welcome to this. I can't believe I'm saying these words. I'm so excited. Julie Black is in the building, guys. Let's give her an On the Path. Welcome. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to snippet that soundbite. I'm going to make that my ringtone, and I'm going to share it with all my ex-boyfriends. Oh, hello. Right.
That's the, can you see me now? Right. Julie, I want to welcome you to On the Path. And you know what I love the most about having you today is that you're not a first time visitor. You have been on the path.
We have taken a walk.
We have literally, physically, metaphorically, all of the levels taken a walk together. Our last conversation, we were walking and talking with your beloved dog, and you were at such a different place in your life. It's incredible to see, like, just what 2 or 3 years has done.
Yeah. Surrender. Surrender.
That's the word. Surrender. That's the word. And you know, when I think about, especially in this last, like, say, 12 months, you know, I think it would be proper to just kind of stop and do a little bit of a check-in with you. Mm-hmm. When I think about 2020 and a little bit of 2021, because it feels like a do-over of the same, more of the same. It's been a tough go. To say it's difficult is an understatement. It has been the hardest time for so many in the history of their lives, from global pandemics to illnesses, loss, death, grief, loss of business, financial downturns, crisis, racial tensions, upheaval politically, global natural disaster. Like, it's just for so many people who were already struggling emotionally, it's just so hard to stay above water. How has it been for you? Like, and as you're answering that, what are the big lessons that are coming out of this really tough time for you, Julie?
So it's interesting because there are people who are thriving, who have been kind of thrive shamed, because so many aren't doing well.
It's interesting.
It's like there are people who are like, you know, were able to take vacation, for example, and stay in the government hotel for the $2,000 and do all the things, like, as far as speaking about Ontario, the rules in Ontario, and are keeping it on the low because others can't. Mm-hmm. And so for me, these last 12, 14 months, 13 months have been some of the best of my life. Have been some of the best times mm-hmm. of my life. And it's because I was being prepared for this years before the pandemic actually hit.
Oh, I love that. Talk about that.
Yeah. Like, you see, I think the world is going through a sense of loss and grief, mm-hmm. right? And so realizing that I've experienced grief and I've experienced loss, we all have. But I think it's now time to actually see and look at the areas of our lives where we are able to learn from the grief and loss we've already experienced, whether it's loss of prestige, loss of identity, yeah, loss of employment, loss of relationship, loss of physical person, you know, all of these things. It's like, I look back, the pandemic hit, and I was like, okay. And I realized, wow, there's opportunity. And there's been a leveling of the playing field where, especially being a singer and songwriter, entertainer, in a business where it's so full of classism, so full of if you're new, if you're old, if you're, you know, all those things. It's like, wait, so now it doesn't matter if you have pyro or not. If you could sing, turn on your camera, turn on your phone, turn on your social media. If you could play that instrument, turn it on. This is where it's like, show me what you're made of.
Right.
And the show me is show myself. I had to say, Julie, what do you, okay, let's go back to Dundas Street Church of God, storefront church, Pastor Mack and them, 6 years old. Like,
right.
It really had me realize the value of time. And the one thing that many have been saying we didn't have enough of, we had all of it, all of it available. And so I stepped in that available time and I was like, okay, this is it. Let's go, Julie. Let's go, family. You know, my sister, for example, MJ, who was born with a disability called arthrogryposis. My mom taught her how to sew when she was 5 in Jamaica by hand, then by machine. Okay. Yeah. There was a pandemic. There was PPE was out. No one had masks, et cetera. My sister was going through some financial hardship. I said, okay, I'm really good at business. I'm really good at websites. So I said, look it, I will put up the Shopify if you will sew. Okay? She sold over 1,000 masks, cleared her Visa bill, and it's popping. Okay? I was her admin, did it all behind the scenes.
I got to ask you, for someone right there, what is the takeaway for someone who thinks they don't have the resources, the time, that like what's the takeaway for them from that story?
One, it is, I would say, looking through the lens of gifts and talents, seeing life through the lens of your gifts and talents. Like all of us, whether you're able to cook, sew, braid, there are people grabbing nail kits from the drugstore and saying, hey, I'll do your nails. It was like, that's right away was, and also compassion, right? And humility. So for me, it wasn't about, this is the Julie Black mask company. This was about supporting my sister as a brand new entrepreneur.
Right.
Right. And using my resource to become her source.
Love that.
Right. Yeah.
I love that. And, you know, when I think about, and, you know, resourceful is there's so many names that I would sort of attach to you. If you had an armor, I would carve them in. Resourceful is one of them. Multifaceted is another. Driven is another. Purpose is another. Fearless and fierce, and unrelenting. Like there's no word no in your vocabulary. It's just unrelenting. You just drive. And I feel like that has caused what I call it the evolution of Julie. I've coined it. So I'm going to trademark it and send it out.
Just send me the shirt.
The evolutions of Julie Black. And every time you hit a new level, new territory, you mastered it. And then conquered it, awards after awards, recognition after recognition. I got to ask you a two-part. Where is Julie now in this evolution of Julie? And what did it take to become her?
Where is Julie now? If I were to go off of impulse, I would say that I am basking in my maturation. I'm really enjoying being me, just being like it, people see the doing. It's like the Wizard of Oz. If you lift the curtain, it's me simply being. Mm-hmm. And so like someone said to me the other day, it was one of these interviews on television, you're the hardest working woman. And how do you do it all? And I was like, I work smarter, not harder. It seems when you're doing what you were designed to do, then it's not hard. A bird isn't trying to be a fish, trying to be a bear, trying to be a lion, trying to be an ant, trying to be a ladybug, trying to be a... No. What I'm doing is by design. Who I'm being is by design, and what I do is just a byproduct of who I actually am. And so what's really been the amplifier, though, is my mom leaving me and teaching me how to be generous and how to be available, like, and to have no expectations of anyone to do what you're doing for them back for you. Like, it is an outward thing. And you let God, you just let God. You do the natural, he adds the supernatural, and you're rewarded. She's taught me, it's biblical, and she taught me what you do, what you do in private will be rewarded in public. Don't you, never you say what you're doing in private. Never you telling that. There's so much going on behind the scenes. And as things come my way, you know, I realize, and this is actually my, I have a an Asian doctor, like I'm into like Eastern medicine and stuff. And so, you know, in their culture, he said to me, you want to know where you are in life? Just be still and see if you're affluent. What is coming your way? Mm-hmm. What is actually coming your way that you're prepared for? Because like you walk up, when an apple is ready, an orange is ready, the farmers walk up to the tree and pick it. And so when you realize opportunities and people and are walking up on the path, walked up to me, you chose me, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Right? That's affluence. I look at it all the same way. And I'm getting goosebumps. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
That's big.
All right. Yeah. Because it's the path of least resistance. When you have to keep knocking and kicking and rah, rah, rah. Nah, it ain't yours. It ain't yours. Not yet. Not yet.
I love that. When you have to fight and kick and push and you're networking and hustling and you're to the point of exhaustion and you know, depletion, that's you use in your own strength, your own power, pushing your own way,
that's
as
right.
opposed to releasing and surrendering. You said that word earlier. What a powerful yeah. word. And so when you look over your life, what would you say? What has it taken for you to be where you are right now?
I had to really reflect on the times when I didn't sit long enough in appreciation and in, that's the word that's right there on the front of my mind. Like to really appreciate that what I've earned, appreciating who I became and I'm becoming, because there was the fear of what's next, what's next, what's next. Right. And so realizing that even we could also miss the enjoyment of the blessing.
Mm,
so the blessing, that. We get the blessing, but you could miss out on enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to be able to sit in it and enjoy it. And so what it really took was my mom's last breath becoming my first breath.
Oh.
She, her last breath, her last full belly breath. I was there. Her last full belly breath. When that last one, and we knew there was no more, that was my first full breath.
I gotta jump in here. Your mother's, that just hit me so hard. And I know that there are goosebumps for those that are listening. Your mother's last breath was your first breath. I want you to unpack that in a minute, but let's stay here. The door is open so perfectly. Let's talk about the incredible force that was your mother. I know that she's looking down, smiling down on you, and she recently passed away. And I knew that this, as Mother's Day was approaching, there was no other person I wanted to speak to about the power of legacy, the lessons that our mothers teach us, who we become, but also would now take those lessons and pour into other women who are struggling as mothers in this difficult time. And Julie, you're the only name that came to mind. I would love for you to tell us, give tribute to the incredible Shiro that is your mother. Tell us about your mom, who she was, her name, everything. And let's sit at the table and get to know this Shiro.
I know, right? So my mom was born Agatha McPherson. Actually, she was born Agatha Richards McPherson. Her mom was Richards. My grandpa was McPherson. And interestingly enough, when I was going through her things, preparing for her funeral and to just get all the estate in order, I found a change of name form in Jamaica where she actually did away with her mother's name. And I found it was I found the actual paperwork. And when I checked the age, my mom was like 35. And she applied to the Jamaican government and changed her last name to only have her father's last name, you know, and her story. And you know, I'm in the process of writing a memoir, and part of it will be in there. Agatha, learning that that she was sold to a white family when she was five. She was the prettiest, most brownest one that they chose, and to a very well-to-do family. And she stayed with them for a while, and she used the power of her little prayer and the power of her tears to get sent back home. Like, they basically kept the receipt. So that's how her life started. But realizing that my mom taught me about faith as a practice. That that's who she was and who I say she is. In her spirit, that, you know, no different. They talk about yoga practice and mantra, all these different practices. So is faith. She taught me that you get a measure. We all get a measure of faith, and then you have to practice. And you practice by taking chances. You practice by truly wrestling with God and trusting, and in the fire, in the wire, knowing that there's already something you've already gone through that you've gone through. Mm-hmm. And to really, really take your cup and go to that well and drink that faith, because mm-hmm. you already have, there's more available. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a mother of nine. And I have nine siblings, and three have passed away, one being my twin brother as well. But still, for some reason, no matter what mom was going through, she knew her purpose in life. She worked and did well at General Motors, et cetera. She knew that she was born to be a mom. And so even after my parents divorced, she kept my dad's three kids. Doreen, Anne-Marie, and Debbie. She said, you could go. You're going to leave the kids at her. And it's unbelievable. Just an unbelievable woman, you know, who was like modern day, you know. Right now, she would have got like Nobel Peace Prize. Mm-hmm. And if she was known, she would get those type of awards. You know what I mean? Taking in at-risk youth, pregnant teens. And she looked at me. She said, I took your friend in, but I'm not giving you permission. This isn't permission. This is because her family threw her away.
Right.
So I'm taking her in. Like, that was my mom. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Lot happened, you know, with different relationships and in the past. But I remember the day when it was her 65th birthday, and she made up her mind that who whatever children, you know, my older siblings had their own issues with how they were raised and what they didn't have and et cetera. And she just made up her mind that my life is mine. You want to stay mad? I'm not dealing with it anymore. And because my mom was holding on to 226 pounds of weight, and that's when she started her journey to weight loss and to drop the armor of pain, the armor of the past. And she walked. Dr. Oz said, walk 15 minutes the one way and then turn around. So she'd do 30 minutes a day, got herself down to 156. And she started walking with a bag of potatoes from No Frills. She just figured it out. You know, for a woman that didn't have not but a grade 8 education, her banking was in order, her power of attorney, her will. She lived on her own. Yeah. She, all of the things.
Yeah.
All the things.
Yeah.
Right. So
self-sufficient.
Yeah. Yeah. I could keep going. Like, there's not enough time to talk about my mom. Like, she's just unbelievable. I miss her so, so much. You know? But when she got 81 years, and I remember that was the year I turned 40, and it came to me. Okay. So mom lived two of my lifetimes. And so I said, this is my day one. I get my do-over. If you give me 81, then this is my day one.
Oh, yeah. I love that, Julie. I love that. And in what ways would you say, now that you've had some time to sort of heal and look back and reflect, in what ways are you very much Agatha's daughter?
Oh, gosh. I'm her mini-memory twin. It's unbelievable. In generosity, for sure. In my spiciness, in my way of, in God as my brethren, you know, in the way my mom re-presented Christianity to her friends, to the family, She was a new school, old school Christian, and that's who I am. You know, I wasn't just Christian; I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? And so, I think that some people look at Christianity and they have a whole other, you know, preconceived notion. And my mom taught me to render my heart and not my garment. My mom taught me that this is an earth suit. Don't worry about the tattoos and this, that. Who cares?
That's your earth suit.
That's DOS. I don't know. Okay, you mark up your skin, you know, but she didn't trip out on that. I remember because she was 7 day. So she went to 7 day church and we went to Sunday church. So we were tied a totally different. We went totally different. You know what I mean? She's like black Jew type thing. But it's interesting. I remember her church wanted me to sing and they wanted me to strip off my earrings, lipstick, take out this, no that. And my mom said, no, then she's not coming. She's not coming. If she can't come as is, then she's not coming. Simple and plain. And I was already Julie Black. Simple and plain.
How would the early years of church and all the spiritual legacy that your mom has poured in, how has it shaped who you are, and how does it inform the way you live in this world?
Yeah. So my mom, seeing the adversity and different things that my mom experienced, you know, like my mom, you know, my dad's mistress ran her off the 401. She nearly died. Like actually, we got the call that she was dead. I was 8 years old. Like literally, she took her car and ran my mom's car off of the road. Mom's car flipped. And my mom lived to tell the story. She was in the car and she held her head. Her head was split totally open. You'd never be able to know a plastic surgeon fixed my mom's head. And the blood was pouring. And then she said she remembered praying, but she said she saw a vision of her auntie, like her great aunt. So this, my mom's born 1936. So imagine this is an old school. And she knew in that moment that she had to pray. She had to believe. She had to trust that she was going to make it. And her faith got her out that car. Her practicing faith, you know, got her out the rubble, crawled out. And so her being open with us, and especially open with me, because I'm the only Canadian-born child. And so she raised me a little different. You know, she's a little more loose.
She's more relaxed by then. Yeah.
You know, I asked her a lot of questions, and I was blessed to have her actually answer them and not think that I was overstepping or being, you know, disrespectful. And so, you know, realizing that prayer, you know, golden text, I still memorize the Bible. I still do it, and I do it for my cognitive health. You know, my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and no one would know that. She still lived on her own till her very end of her time. But what I realized is that I was able to use my research, for example, my faith, yes, and the research of music and how music therapy, you know, how it helps Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. And so I went and got a Zumba certification, and I'll teach mom Zumba on Sundays so she could dance. They actually lowered her medication. Like, it's just like all types of stuff, right? But my mom taught me that to be the type of Christian that she believed is going to be effective in the field is to be agile. It's to be spiritually agile, to be emotionally available.
I love that.
So there are moments where she'd be like, I know I'm being miserable, but she wasn't afraid to apologize or to try. And this is like old, like I said, 1936.
Yeah.
Older generation, right?
Yeah.
But it's her, she was wrapped in faith, realizing that, for example, you know, when she was diagnosed with cancer, she automatically was like, my body has cancer. My soul doesn't have cancer. My spirit doesn't have cancer. She gave it to the earth suit. And so that type of speaking, that type of mindset, you know, it helped me heal from child sexual abuse. You know, my body experienced child sexual abuse, but I didn't. Right. My spirit didn't. My soul didn't. Right. My body did. And so it's that learning, that separation. For example, even her flipping the words single mother. She's like, I'm a mother who's single. Like, what's the most important thing now? It's being a mother. So she put the most important title first.
So many women are focused on the single, and so they think about what they don't have and the loss of that. And I love that. You know, I want to ask you, it's not on script, but I know you're good for it. If you could describe your mom, take five or six single words, like just words that just really,
Funny. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Funny, wise, smart, beautiful, faith-filled, relational, compassionate, for sure, spicy.
I love that.
Yeah, very spicy, talented. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, gifted, resilient. What else would I say about my mom? For sure, loving. And if I were to give her one more strong word, I would say brave.
Mm-hmm. So good, Julie. So good. Thank you for sharing time and space and telling us these stories about your mom. She has been an inspiration. I got the privilege and the honor of getting to know her when she was on this side of glory. And let me tell you something. She lit us all up. We were inspired. She is still teaching. She is still teaching her lessons, the legacy. And one of the things I said to you earlier was, I believe that who we become is, it's almost like a living tribute to our mom. You know, mm-hmm. And I know that everything you do with intention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In honor to your mom. Absolutely. I want to switch gears real quick and talk to you about, we talked about sort of the up times, the mountain times, how things are really coming in alignment for you. This is a beautiful season for your life. And I always tell people, don't envy the beautiful seasons in people's lives because you don't have the strength. You don't have the strength to go through the storms that they went to get it.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot. And so sometimes we just need to celebrate people because we don't know the storms that they've gone through. And when I talk about storms, I always say that storms are our greatest teachers. We've talked about that before. I want to know, for someone who's in it right now, maybe their life isn't so great and mm-hmm. flowing and blessed. When you hit rock bottom, the times that you did, what got you out? How did you get out of rock bottom, and what did you learn in those really like back flat on floor moments of your life?
Huh, wow. It's a really good question. Again, if I go off of impulse.
Yeah, go.
Pride to the side, mm-hmm. for sure. Humility. Mm-hmm. My mom used to always say, you can't go further than the ground. And so look up. Mm-hmm. When you hit the ground, look up. If you're on your belly, roll over, look up, like you're still alive. And life really was having breath in my body, knowing that my talent was something that was endless, that really helped give me a sense of inspiration. I had to move from motivation. I had zero motivation because I had zero motive, and move to inspiration and be in spirit. Mm. That changed everything for me. Differentiating the two, also being very transparent about my situation, about my finances, about like just publicly. This is, you know, when I do speaking events, if I didn't have gas in my car or I only had half tank, I'd say it on stage. Hey, God got me here on half tank. Don't know how I'm gonna get home, but I'm here. Yes, and not looking for pity, like really looking for, really having people be able to connect and relate. Just tell the truth.
Yeah.
Tell the truth. At one of my biggest speaking events, at that time I had minus 13 cents in my bank account. And I just had finished crying right before. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. I'm here to heal others and my well is empty. You know, what do you do? What do you do? And I often say God gives me the download so I could upload into others.
I love that.
I got the download and I shared. And from there, it was like the story just kept stitching together and realizing like, what is money? What is currency? What decisions do I need to make differently? Who do I really have in my tribe? And, you know, who can I call on? You know, who don't I want to tell this story to? Right. Like it was inventory time, right? It was inventory time. And it really had me check into becoming a serious like entrepreneur and mm-hmm. getting my business in order, mm-hmm. like business. Cause I knew I, you know, in full transparency, it was a tax thing. Who was managing my finances? Didn't take off the HST, didn't take like things that I didn't know. I just said, let them, okay. Yeah. I have a strong team, et cetera. Mm-mm. And I, you know, $170,000 owed to the government and I had to really go in and get that fixed. So education, you educate to elevate. educate to elevate. And it's really, I looked at my mom that came from like the school of hard knocks, like the school of life. Yeah. You know, I have a lyric in my song Five Times Love, took a page out the book of life, said there was nothing to it. Take a page out of book of life, out the book of life. I had to take a page out of it. I'm like, all right, even one. And so, but what really, really helped me is positive motion, moving my body, moving my body, exercising. It, to lace up your shoes and go out for a walk is free. You don't need a gym membership. Mm-hmm. To do some push-ups is free. Grab a skipping rope. It doesn't cost much, $10. Like, as I got moving and my body, I had access to those natural endorphins, that dopamine, all those hormones that are available to all of us for free.
Yeah.
Then I was able to have the mental capacity to do more. I started to feel better. So then I started to do better.
And you know, it's funny because here you are taking a personal journey, a personal step for you needed to sweat and to move and to, like you said, raise the endorphin levels. And that has morphed into an absolute empire. I really want to talk about this now because I'm a beneficiary of this. I'm literally part of this community. The 100 Strong and Sexy and the Power of Step. These are your incredible organizations and these are for women and they do so much more. And I want you to just unpack it for people that are learning for the first time, so much more than exercise. How did that come about? And what excites you the most about it?
100 Strong and Sexy is our global like 360 health and wellness movement. So it's mind, body, spirit. It was birthed after my mom passed away, and the Lord was speaking to me. It was like audibly. I called an audible feeling, and I was just like, Julie, don't let life pin you down before you decide to get up. Mm-hmm. Don't let life pin you down before you decide to get up. It just kept over and over and over and over. And so I got up and I got moving. And so literally, and what started as exercise and food really ended up being a tree with many branches. And each branch was an area of my life that I couldn't find service for. So I couldn't find a grief and loss support group that really served me culturally as a woman, as somebody that is in entertainment, as a Christian, like all the things. I couldn't find that, right? Really looking for it. It was like they were all kind of spread out. So I created a grief and loss support group called In the Arms of an Angel. That's been incredible, you know, serving the community. You know, I was vegan for 5 years. And so I knew it was hard to start up. I was by myself. I was like Googling. And so I started a plant forward group. Then you could be like baby vegan or go just hardcore vegan. And, you know, there's that. A book club. You know, I was on the show, Canada Reads, and some people know what happened with the Jeannie Becker clips. Yes. And
take it to the altar now.
Yeah, I take it to the altar, right? So what I got from that, though, is like, wow, they paid me X amount of dollars to read these 5 books. And after the show was done, I didn't continue reading. Like I was reading sporadically. And so I was like, you know what? No, Julie, you got to do better. So I needed accountability. So I launched a book club and now we're 6 books in.
Wow.
And like 80 women. Like, so all of these are wings of 100 Strong and Sexy. There's a besties club. There's a step group, you know, and, you know, I'll pivot from there and go into the Power of Step.
Mm. Oh, you got to Wake and Worship. Don't forget that.
Oh, yes. Wake and Worship. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? It started at Wake and Worship. Actually, let me go back. In 2014, Wake and Worship used to be called the Prayer Engine. Mm. And there's 12 women. I was 12 disciples and we were like, it wasn't once a week. My apologies. This thing is telling me to drink water. Okay. If you're hearing that ping, that's my water alarm. Okay.
Drink water, people.
Yeah. Drink water. Drink water. Let me take a sip. Drink water. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Take one too.
There you go. Awaken Worship. It used to be the Prayer Engine. Remember I was sharing about Bible memorization,
yeah,
et cetera. And so this is built off of The Purpose-Driven Life, the book by Pastor Rick Warren. And so we memorize scriptures, et cetera. And I was like, you know what? There are people who are non-denominational. There are people who are atheists. There are people who are agnostic. There are people that don't know anything. So I wanted to create an organization, a group that is a brave space, a safe space. Come, learn about the Lord. Listen, yeah. You know, You are our amazing soul care coach. Yeah. I'm so excited to have you here. Like this real talks, like not because we're on your podcast. Wake and Worship has been popping in a way that has never popped. Like people are hype about your podcast. We can't wait for you to do the workshop. And it's awesome. That energy, you know, and that's my lot in life. This is why I have this tattoo. It's the bridge, right? So creating a bridge, that's what 100 Strong and Sexy, if I were just to sum it up. It's really that bridge to get everybody, women, and it's not just women. Like the women extend to the husbands, the children, the, you know what I mean, the matriarchs and patriarchs. Like this is like, it feeds the whole family.
Yeah.
So you create a bridge from where you are, where you could be stuck. Maybe you don't have the information. Maybe you just need a reset to your desired, not end goal. Mm-hmm. It's really just putting you on the path, pun intended, right? Because sometimes we just slip off the path. You just need to get on the path. And then you have support.
So good.
It's judgment free. It's body inclusive. It's body neutral. It's like we celebrate one another. And it's just been unbelievable. It's going on 3 years. And I think about it. If mom hadn't transitioned, you know, she left me this gift.
And how many women have passed through? Let people understand the number.
Oh, right. So for every 100 days, each cycle is 100 days. We are on cycle 9. So we're going into 900 days this summer. And so there have been over 1,000 women and girls that have passed through. Our youngest is 12 ever. Our oldest is 75.
Wow.
Okay. Black, white, Asian, South Asian, Hispanic.
Yeah.
Muslim, you know.
Yeah.
Sikh, Christian, Jewish.
All nations. Love it.
All. All.
All. And the power of step.
Yeah. So good old fashioned step aerobics, retro step aerobics that used to happen in the 80s, 90s. Last year when all the gyms closed, you know, there was that whole thing. No gyms. There was no equipment. My best friend in Kechi, she had her step from back in the day. That's how we met in 1996 in step class. And she found this YouTube clip of this guy named Extreme Hip Hop with Phil from Cleveland. So I went and grabbed a step quickly, and her and I started virtually stepping and putting it to music. And then last year, I am like serial entrepreneur. I realized that stepping on the platform on that piece of plastic, when I stepped on it, I felt something like spiritually. Mm-hmm. It really felt like my mantle. It felt like there was a call to action. It felt like
you know, stepping into purpose.
Stepping into purpose. It was a town hall meeting. It was, you know, an opportunity to really utilize my coaching, because I have I'm a certified life coach as well, in a space where you kind of hide the kale in the smoothie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you come to the class and you think that you're just going to learn some steps. And before you know it, we have step and praise and worship on Sundays. Full church on the step. It's unbelievable. And so so that's available to everyone. You don't have to register for 100 Strong and Sexy. Maybe that's just one thing you want to do.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I love that.
And kids do it too.
I love that. And where can people find information about both of these great organizations?
Yeah, so 100strongandsexy.com, flat out, simple, and then thepowerofstep.com. Mm-hmm. The power is yours to step into. That's our mantra there, our motto. And for 100 Strong and Sexy, it's unity is our strength and community is our currency.
Oh, I love that. Oh, and guys, I can't stress enough. You got to check it out. If you're on Insta, you can look up literally 100 Strong and Sexy and find it there. Do you have Power Step on Insta, or is it under
The Power Step's on Insta.
Power Step on Insta as well. Julie, I as we're winding down, I'm just, you inspire in so many ways. Physically, your whole body is in it. Mentally, all the gems that you teach us. And for those that follow, we'll talk about how to stalk Julie. I want us to stalk Julie after, because you will be inspired by her Instagram, guys. She lives to pour out encouragement and inspiration. I want you to do that now in this moment. And I really feel this weight of this moment, because I think there has never been a tougher time. There are so many things that are obstacles in our way. People have lost so much. And I'm so mindful around this Mother's Day season of single mothers. We spoke about it earlier. I'm going to change my language. I come from a mother who was single. I love that. and you did as well. We know that they wear both hats. They have double capes. It's a harder go. Any words for these Shiros? Anything you want to say to them?
Yeah. What really helped my mother gain freedom and her children, me being one of them, gain peace and really unlock all the things that was really available to me was forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it still takes two to make the one. You know, I came out as two. But my mom used to say to me in those days, and, you know, there were times where there was no relationship with my father. There was times where it was totally radio silence. And then there were those times when he was available to me and I didn't want to have that relationship. I was angry, resentment, bitterness. And, you know, she really leaned on the Corinthians. And, you know, we do the whole love is patient, love is kind, and it's not jealous or rude, doesn't demand its own way. But there's a part in that scripture where it says it keeps no record of being wronged. And that's the part that I really want to encourage everyone to think about. Mm. Mothers, daughters, sons, fathers, everyone. Mm. You know, the records. We need to spiritually, mentally, emotionally burn the records.
That's good.
We need to burn the records. Mm. That's what's keeping us stuck. Mm. You know, realizing that my mom forgave my dad for so many things, mm-hmm. and was living in her freedom and in her joy and her peace, and I was still drinking the poison.
Yeah.
And wondered why certain things weren't happening, wondering why I was losing my voice often, wondering mm-hmm. why my relationships weren't thriving, you know, personally, wondering why.
Mm.
Right? So I salute all of you mothers and a mother doesn't mean that you are biologically a mother. You gave birth. My mom left me a gift before right. she died. She said, "Jew, do you want to be a mother or do you want to have a baby?"
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, "I want to be a mother." And she said, "You have your whole life."
That is powerful. I want to stay there for a minute. Because the idea right now is that you don't have to physically have given birth. And there are mothers who have, unfortunately, even maybe listening now, have given birth and their child is no longer with them and is resting in heaven. Yeah. And so the idea that you don't need a physical seed to be a mother, there are maternal things that we can give and pass down and mentor and pour into. I love that. I love that.
Yep. Yep. And me being 43, I'll be 44 this year and haven't had biological children. My mom left me that gift. I come from a family that my sister has 5 kids. My other sister has 4 kids. My other sister, like my brother has 4. My other brother has 3, you know, so we're a very like fertile family. And so realizing like I have many, many, many children out yeah. there
yeah,
and in here and in my heart. And so as I'm experiencing hormonal changes, and some of you might be even going through that right now, perimenopause, menopause, like I'm here to be a bridge to break the stigma.
So that, good.
Yeah, all of that stuff, right? So burn the records.
That's big.
Burn your own records to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's that block because there was so much unforgiveness for so long that now the pride has set in. And then the fear of even reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
If COVID hasn't taught us anything else, like connection is key.
Yeah.
Connection is key.
Yeah.
Reconnect. And it doesn't mean that you're validating any wrong that was done to you. It means that you are mature enough. You are bigger than it. You are now able to provide a space for the hurt person that has hurt you to now find some healing for themselves as well. So.
Oh, Julie, so good. Julie Black, beyond what I could even ask or think, I knew that it was going to be such an uplifting, healing time with you. And it's all that and more. I want to end by, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench. You did not know this, but I want to throw a surprise question in.
Oh, okay.
That I ask all of my guests. And it's amazing. No one has repeated an answer, and every answer is so completely different. You know, in light of everything we've talked about, getting back up from rock bottom, working through tragedy, obstacles, the lessons that have been passed on, this new idea of what motherhood could be, all of these things, anything you want to pull from all of those, finish the sentence. It's time for what? It's time for what? And you just start by saying it's time for.
It's time for me. It's time for me.
It's time for me. It's time to put ourselves first, right? Yeah. Good. I want to flip that now. What is it not time for? Encourage us. What is it not time for?
It's not time to get stuck in memorizing the memories. It's not time to think about what hasn't happened, because we really don't know what is to come and what wasn't supposed to happen anyway. It's not time to have anybody pimp you out of your character.
Come on.
Don't let anyone pimp you out of your character. No. It's not time for that. Right? We have choice. We have choice. How you my mom used to say, the blessing is in the response.
Come on. I love it.
Yeah? I could preach a whole sermon on that.
Because
let me tell you, there, especially in this time where so many people are fear-filled and believing, like, everything's gossip. Everything we hear, I mean, we're getting news, we're getting information from whatever sources that a lot of times potentially is gossip. And that could pimp you out of your character. It can. So know that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and soundness of mind. Power, love, and soundness of mind. Just power, love, soundness of mind. Like, come on.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh. It's not time. It's not time for that, ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Julie Black, I thank you for sharing time and space and sitting with us on the path. It's like we sat on a bench, we looked at the ocean, and we just talked as girls. I love it. I live for it. How can people follow you, stalk you? I know some of us stalk you every day. Please let us know.
Yeah, you could follow me, stalk me on Instagram. It's Miss M-I-S-S Julie, J-U-L-L-Y Black. If you want to remember the spelling, it's like jelly with a U or bully with a J. Okay. Depends on where you stand in my life. Twitter, Julie Black. Facebook, Julie Black. Oh God, there's so many things now. TikTok, the real Julie Black. I know TikTok. I love it. Like, what else TikTok. Is there? Lord of mercy. But I'm on there. But ultimately, you know, especially for that's funny. People be like, I've been trying to reach you. I'm like, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. I'm very easy to reach.
Girl, I'm everywhere. Yes.
Yeah.
Julie, thank you so much for being with us on the path. And I'm going to take all these lessons. I encourage you guys, if you are listening and you were super inspired like I was, please share this with someone who needs encouragement. And happy Mother's Day to everyone that's listening as you're preparing for it, or maybe it just passed. And any last word for moms, Julie?
Last word for moms, I will say, there's so much power in the word thank you. And sometimes you just have to just lock this in. Lock this in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for one more day on this Mother's Day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for one more day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for one more day. We just want to thank you, Lord.
Come on.
Power of the thanks. Oh,
I prayed. I hoped. I was like, God, please let her sing on my show. I dared not ask. And look, just in the midnight hour, come on, Jesus, let's go.
Hey.
Oh, man. And now we call the offering up. We've concluded our service.
Love offering.
We're going to open up the altars right now. Julie Black, hello. I want to thank you so much for being on the path. And I cannot wait to see what God has in store for you next. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Wow, what an incredible conversation with the one and only Julie Black. I want to thank her for taking the time to speak with all of us. She's out in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and she's actually on set shooting a show. So thank you so much for taking the time, Julie. And you know, when I think about the conversation and all the lessons she's learned and how she's living her life to honor her mother, it just reminds me the most important thing for her is to be Agatha's daughter. And you know, so many times we grow up in life not fully appreciating the wisdom and the lessons of our parents, especially our moms. And so on this day and in and around this time, I want to take a moment to say to my mother, a very happy Mother's Day. The lessons you have taught me, I am living out today. And I'm so thankful that I have many more Mother's Days, I pray, to celebrate you. And to all the moms out there and those who have maybe lost their mother, and to those who are single moms, to those who are grieving for lost children, wherever you are in this life and journey of motherhood, I wish you a very happy, joyful Mother's Day. I love you. I am praying for you. I pray comfort and strength into your life, and know that you are changing lives. Still, with your legacy, make a difference. And until then, keep living, keep learning, keep loving. Happy Mother's Day, and I'll see you on the path.
Thanks for listening. Please like, download, and subscribe. This has been an Exousia Media production.